Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Happy New Year. And it happens every December, a little before New Year's. And today is the day for the Brian Lehrer Show end of year news quiz to answer the question, have you been paying attention in 2010? Get two in a row right, and we will give you a WNYC sling by Chico Bags, the cool little shoulder bag that we have that's made of recycled material and crinkles up into a tiny ball when you're not using it. We will give away a WNYC sling to any of you who get just two answers right in a row. We want to give away slings. So if you want to be a news quiz contestant, just call us up right now at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And actually, all our lines are full. People holding on from last hour. And as they finish up with their news quiz questions, then you can sneak into that open line at 212-433-9692, and we'll see if you have been paying attention in 2010. But on to the news quiz, back to the news quiz. Our next quiz master is none other than New Yorker staff writer Susan Orlean, she of the Orchid Thief fame and other books, and she of her 81,000 Twitter followers. Hey, Susan, thanks for doing this. Happy New Year.
Oh, you too, Brian. I'm delighted to be here. And also, anything that gives me an opportunity to be called a master is very thrilling.
Quiz master, yes. And I won't ask you what else you're a master of.
Very little. That's why this is a highlight for the year for me.
But I will ask what you've been tweeting about recently.
You know, I it's interesting to me. I tweeted yesterday very casually how I had heard that bookstore employees now refer to Stieg Larsson's book, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, as the girl who pays our salaries. And I think it's now going to be the most retweeted comment I've ever put up on Twitter, which is fascinating.
As a reflection of the state of the publishing industry?
I guess so.
Or just the popularity of the book?
Probably a combination, and it was also I can't even take credit for it. I didn't come up with the pun. I had overheard it. I don't even remember now where I heard it, but people seem to have found it droll and also very telling. Probably a lot of bookstore people on Twitter, and I know that's true among my followers. There's just a ton of people in the publishing world who are on Twitter.
The girl, also known as the franchise from here on
in. The franchise who kicked the hornet's nest.
All right, let's do some news quiz. You ready?
I am ready.
Amy in Manhattan, have you been paying attention in 2010?
I'm trying.
Let's find out. Susan Orlean, hit her with a quiz question.
Well, this is a good one. All right, Amy, in a highly publicized news conference on February 19th, an embattled celebrity gave a news conference in which he mentioned his mother's faith as being key to his road to redemption. The following Sunday, Fox News commentator Britt Hume had this to say.
It's not clear to me that whether he'll be able to have a relationship with his children, but the extent to which he can recover, it seems to me, depends on his faith. He's said to be a Buddhist. I don't think that faith offers the kind of forgiveness and redemption that is offered by the Christian faith. So turn to the Christian faith, and you can make a total recovery and be a great example to the world.
Britt Hume on Fox News Sunday taking his famous swipe at Buddhism. Whoever thought that would happen on a public affairs show, but who was Britt Hume trying to save, Amy, through the healing power of Christ?
Tiger Woods.
Sure was. And, okay, bonus question. No penalty for this, but it will be your second right answer, and you win the sling if you get it right. Are you ready? Once he came back, how many, within two, you have to get it. We'll make this precise. You have to get the exact number. After he came back, how many golf tournaments did Tiger Woods win in 2010? since it's a bonus question. No penalty for getting this one wrong. Two is wrong. The answer is zero.
Oh.
So
must have been that bad Buddhism.
I think so. I think so. It's not as good luck as turning to Christ. So, Anna Marie, Anna Marie, I'm sorry, Susan. Anna Marie was our last quiz master. I got in the habit. Susan, Amy still gets another quiz question, and if she gets it right, she wins a WNYC sling. So hit her.
Oh, okay, great. Amy, this year YouTube celebrated its fifth birthday, which makes you wonder, where did people put videos of cats playing pianos 6 years ago? The first ever video uploaded to YouTube was uploaded on Saturday, April 23rd, 2005. It's 19 seconds long, and it's of founder Jawed Karim visiting a famous San Diego landmark. And the video is entitled Me at the Blank. What was he visiting?
So, a famous San Diego
landmark. The first.
Is it the San Diego Zoo?
It's too easy. Just by saying San Diego, even if you don't know, have no idea what we're talking about.
Thank you.
What's YouTube and what Kareem Abdul what? And, you know. So, yes, it was the San Diego Zoo. It was shot by Yakov Lipitsky and features Kareem in front of the elephants explaining how interesting their really, really, really long trunks, as he put it, are. He studied computer science, not elephantology, at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Okay. So wait, was that one or was that? That was two. You win a sling.
Woo!
And bragging rights for your New Year's Eve party as a WNYC 2010 New Scholar.
Oh, I'm very excited.
So,
thank you.
Maybe we're going to put you on hold and get your address and move right on to Paul in Queens. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Happy New Year. And Susan Orlean.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I'm addicted to your show, so I should know the questions.
I'm glad. Hopefully, listening to the show will be a little bit edifying in this respect. Susan, go.
Okay, Paul. This was a huge year for Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. The company started the year with controversy over its privacy settings. Then the movie Social Network portrayed the company's early, somewhat scandalous years. Then Time magazine named Zuckerberg its person of the year. Facebook is doing everything it can to take over your life. Your entire internet usage. And in many ways, it's working. For instance, what percentage of Facebook users log into the site every day?
And that's the question.
So here are your choices.
Oh, okay.
19%, 33%, 50%, or 78%?
I would say 78%.
Paul? Despite all your listening to the Brian Lehrer Show in 2010, you did not come away with the percentage of Facebook users who log on every day. I am so sorry to say. In fact, I don't think it ever came up on the show. So it's an argument for diversity of media consumption.
Okay.
But thank you very much, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Keep listening to us. Happy New Year. Rita in Chappaqua is going to get a shot at that question.
I'm a little breathless because I was on my treadmill while I was waiting for you to pick up, but I'm not breathless with anticipation. I'm ready to go.
Okay, so the question was, what percentage of Facebook users log into the site every day? 19%, 33%, 50%, or 78%?
I'd say 33%.
And that, unfortunately, is wrong. Back to the treadmill, Rita.
Okay, thanks.
Do those last couple of miles.
Okay.
Happy New Year. All right, and the answer was 50. So just so you know, half of that, which is an incredible number, Susan, half of Facebook users go on every day.
I would have probably guessed what Paul did, 78%. But on the other hand,
even that high,
there are so many millions and millions and millions of users that would mean, I mean, that's a dazzling number of people checking it every day,
right.
Regardless. It's extraordinary.
50 to me sounds extremely high. 50% of half a billion people.
Yeah,
half a billion people.
It's incredible. I mean, the Facebook itself is now, what, the largest nation on Earth? I shouldn't say that in case there's an idea that this could become a politicized entity. But
right.
It's
I guess third largest. I guess third largest. China and
third
India
largest.
Are still bigger. Okay, let's go to Robert in Brooklyn. Robert, hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Brian.
You're also going to get a Facebook question. Susan, go.
So we're going to do the follow-up?
Right, that Facebook follow-up
okay.
question.
Okay. This is a really interesting one. What percentage of Facebook users live outside of the United States?
Within 10 percentage points. And I'll say I was shocked by this answer. But what percentage of Facebook users... I'm so shocked that I think we should check it again. But I trust our producers who wrote the quiz. But within 10 percentage points, what percentage of Facebook users are outside the United States?
Oh, man. I'm going to say, Brian was shocked at this answer, so I'm going to guess.
And we just reconfirmed it, by the way.
I'm going to say 65.
Wow.
That is close enough for a right answer. The answer is 70% outside the United States. More than 300,000 users help translate the site through the translations application, and there are more than 70 translations available on Facebook, 70 languages. All right, so that's one right. One more, and you win a WNYC sling. Susan, hit them.
Okay, Robert, earlier this month, a lawyer for this man said, quote, "Whatever sex by surprise is, it's only an offense in Sweden, not in the UK or the US or even Ibiza. I feel as if I'm in a surreal Swedish movie being threatened by bizarre trolls." Interesting. Who was accused of sex by surprise?
That's just too easy.
I know.
Julian Assange, too easy.
You can refuse the question, and we'll give you a harder one if you want.
I think I'll take
our only contestant ever to complain that the quiz is too easy, as Robert in Brooklyn wins a WNYC sling and bragging rights for your New Year's Eve party. Thanks a lot. Congratulations. Hang on, Robert. We're going to get your address so we can send you that sling. And we will take a break and continue with Susan Orlean and our end of the year Brian Lehrer Show news quiz. Have you been paying attention in 2010? Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you're just joining us, it happens every December, a little before New Year's, and today's the day, the Brian Lehrer Show End of Year News Quiz, to answer the question, have you been paying attention in 2010? Get two in a row right, and we will give you a WNYC sling by Chico Bags. That's the cool little shoulder bag that we have that's made of recycled material and crinkles up into a tiny ball when you're not using it. We'll give away a WNYC sling to any of you who get two answers right in a row. So if you want to be a news quiz contestant, you have to wait till the people already on hold finish up, but have this number ready to go, 212-433-WNYC, not our pledge line. That's our on-air number. We'll never ask you for money on the air. 212-433-9692. And back to the news quiz, back to our quizmaster, New Yorker staff writer, Susan Orlean, she of the Orchid Thief fame, among other books, and she of the 80,000 Twitter followers. By the way, Susan, once you have the quick high of 80,000 Twitter followers hanging on your every character, can you ever go back to long-form New Yorker articles?
It's a challenge. It's something I've actually thought about. There is something very seductive about feeling like you've got an audience there. And actually, it grows exponentially. I now have 95,000 followers.
I beg your pardon.
It's like measles. It just spreads.
It is like measles. It just spreads. Mary Jo in Brooklyn, you ready to be a News Quiz contestant?
I can't wait to be on the air with Susan Orlean.
That's great. Susan, this is your 95,001st fan.
No.
Oh, great. Thanks.
I'm on Twitter. Sorry.
Okay. But I've got a good question.
I was just
going
to say,
we'll
have to have a News Quiz question for next year where the answer is it spreads like measles.
All right.
Susan, go ahead.
Oh, that's going to be on my tombstone, I'm afraid. Okay, question. On January 27th of this year, two literary giants passed away. Same day. One, a reclusive novelist, excuse me, and one, a radical historian. Who were they?
Got to get both of them.
J.D. Salinger.
Yes.
And
one radical historian wrote maybe the most famous alternative history book of all time.
I'm sorry I give up, but it was a thrill to be on the air with Susan Orlean. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Ari in Brooklyn, you're going to get one crack at that question before we have to retire it. Do you know who that radical historian was who passed away this year?
Howard Zinn.
Absolutely. Author of A People's History of the United States. Okay, you are just one.
Of blessed memory.
Indeed. One quick question, correct answer, I should say, away from winning a WNYC sling and all those bragging rights. Susan, hit them.
All right. This is a great one. Identify this clip and what it's in reference to.
We're sorry for the massive disruption it's caused to their lives. And, you know, there's no one who wants this thing over more than I do. You know, I'd like my life back.
I'd like my life back. Maybe the most infamous line.
Creepy. Tony Howard.
Well, that's close enough. Tony Hayward. It's Hayward.
Oh, Hayward, excuse me.
But
I'm sorry.
You obviously know who he is, CEO of BP after the spill, with the seagulls in the background. That's part of what will make that audio clip live in infamy forever. With the seagulls. All right, that's two in a row. You win a WNYC sling.
I'm going to go pledge now.
Thank you, Ari. Thank you very much. Hang on, though. Don't do it yet. We're going to take your address off the air so we can mail you your prize. And don't forget to use the bragging rights at your New Year's Eve party. And we go on to Dan in Rahway. Hey, Dan, Happy New Year.
Hi, Happy New Year to you.
Susan, give him a quiz question.
Okay, on April 7th, employees of this hospital were notified that no buyer had been found for the facility and it was to close. And on April 9th, it stopped accepting ambulances. What hospital was it?
I believe it was in Manhattan.
Yes, it's too bad that by the luck of the draw,
Upper West Side.
We got we have a caller from Rahway, unfortunately, for this, which makes this closing a little bit less close to home.
Yeah, very much not local to me. St. Vincent.
That is right.
Wow.
Quick on the Google finger, but, you know, there's nothing we can do about that. So, Dan, one question to go. Susan, hit him.
Okay, on Wednesday, June 23rd, this show was on the air during possibly the greatest goal in U.S. soccer history. Needing a win against Algeria to advance to the elimination round, the U.S. was tied 0-0 in the final minute when this happened.
Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA! Certainly through! Oh, it's incredible! You could not write a script like this.
All right, who scored that goal?
Oh, man. I am not a soccer fan at all.
Three, two.
Landon Donovan.
Oh. The most blatant example of Googling for the right answer, but a quality example, and there is no rule preventing it. So, Dan, you are a WNYC search scholar.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I pride myself on being able to use the internet.
hey, God, great. We'll take your address so we can send you a WNYC sling.
You've got to learn to fill in that little pause as you're Googling with chit chat, so it doesn't show.
That's right. Well, you know, sometimes if I'm Googling during the show, people hear this like...
Yeah.
Right? And he managed to mask it completely. That was extremely
skillful
in-contest Googling. yes, by the way, we have an extra clip. Should we just play this clip? Is that what we do? Okay, this is how for people who, like Dan, were not soccer fans and had not been following it, but all of a sudden there was this huge United States goal. What are they talking about? Here's how The Daily Show did it.
Today, America officially became a third world country.
Because we won a soccer game?
Just crunch the numbers, Stuart. Rampant unemployment, your dollar is basically valueless, you owe billions to other countries, you can't win a war for and what's more, you dominated a game of football, and you deserve to win it.
There you go. So, Levi and Queens, you start with a bonus question.
Okay.
From the World Cup, which means no penalty if you get it wrong. Before we leave this topic, who did the United States lose to in the first round of elimination play after that dramatic goal? What country?
Well, being Google this, man, I don't have a clue.
All right. So the answer is Ghana, and you don't have to know that one because it was a bonus question.
Well,
so
thank you.
Ask them the next real question, Susan.
Okay. In January of this year, Brian did a segment on the sounds of New York City in which several callers pointed out that these prominent New York vehicles sometimes play the first three notes of the West Side Story song Somewhere Out There as they accelerate. What vehicles do that, and can you sing the beginning of Somewhere Out There?
It's Somewhere. I think the actual title is Somewhere, you know, like... There's a place for us, that thing. But...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
The question being, what vehicles make that sound?
Well, I'm not going to sing, and the closest I can imagine would be Mr. Softyville.
That was a great guess, Levi. Thank you for trying, and I appreciate your humility in not singing if you don't... think you can sing. But thank you for trying. We're going to give Mark in Westfield that same question. Mark, did you hear the question?
Can you give it to me again?
Yeah, the beginning, the first few notes of the song Somewhere from West Side Story. Several callers pointed out on one of our segments about sounds of New York City that these prominent New York vehicles sometimes play the first three notes of Somewhere from West Side Story as they accelerate from a standstill. What vehicles?
I'm going to have to guess it's a Prius.
Ooh, nice try. Boy, Susan, that was some range from Mr. Softy trucks to the Prius.
To Prius. Hmm. I have to agree that these vehicles do make this sound.
And the answer is... a certain make of subway car, many along the E line, the 4, and the 5. Listen.
Then I'll take you away when nothing can get to us.
There's a place for us.
There you go. Somewhere and the... screech from acceleration of the 4, the 5, and the E-trains, and some others, I think. Vito in New Canaan, you ready for a quiz question?
Yes, I am. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Susan, we're going to the census question, right?
Okay, great. Assuming that you did your census form, Vito, on the form, the first two questions are the same. Question 2 simply asks... if you're sure your answer to the first question is correct, what were the questions?
Oh, gosh. Are you a citizen of the United States?
That is wrong. Thank
Good
you
guess.
For trying. Paul in the Bronx, did you hear the question?
I did. I'm shoveling snow right now, so I'm not using Google.
Shoveling snow while answering... Gerald Ford couldn't chew gum and walk at the same time. You can shovel snow and answer news quiz questions.
That's right. I'm going to say, how many people are in your household?
That is correct. But and how did they ask? This is a bonus question, but how did they ask the follow-up?
have no idea. Right, they put the first part of the sentence last and the last part of the sentence first.
Nice try. They asked, were there any additional people you did not include in question one? Which is just a way of reinforcing that. Okay, so here is a clip, and if you get this one right, you win a WNYC sling. Here is a clip from a news report on the very first Earth Day.
A few older people, a few blacks, and some of the poor, but mainly white, middle-class young people, as much aroused by the music as by the damage done to the environment by pollution.
Welcome, sulfur dioxide. Hello, carbon monoxide.
So, Susan, the question is, after that historical clip.
Earth Day celebrated a big anniversary this year. Which anniversary was it?
Paul?
It is either, I think it's either 25 or 50, and I'm going to say 50.
And they are both wrong. Thank you for trying. Let's see if Leo in Manhattan can do it. Leo?
Oh, yes, Theo, thanks for taking my call. Let me see.
Big round anniversary for Earth Day this year.
Say again, what was it?
It was a big round number anniversary for Earth Day.
Oh, 30th.
Nice try. We're going to have to retire that question, Susan Orlean. The answer was?
40.
It was the 40th anniversary.
That makes me feel old.
1970. And when else would Earth Day have begun other than the beginning of the 1970s? So 1970 right. to 2010. The next Earth Day, by the way, will be on Friday, April 22nd, 2011. And Susan Orlean, she of 95,000 Twitter followers and a New Yorker staff writer, it's been really fun having you do the news quiz with us today. Thank you for being a quiz master.
It's my pleasure.
And listeners, still to come, we have one segment of the news quiz left, and it is the true-false lightning round. We have no guest quiz master for this. This is just you and me. You'll have to get three in a row right. It's going to be rapid fire. I have more than 30 questions ready to go for the end of the year news quiz, true-false lightning round, coming up next.